you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan. Now, the newest measures under the CMCO makes work from home compulsory for industries under MITI as well as the civil service. But when it was announced yesterday, there was much less clarity about the directive. And even with the clarification that was issued today, it isn't quite clear how it will be implemented, if compliance will be monitored, what sanctions will be applied, or even how long this directive is meant for. Now, Consider This reached out to MITI and the Ministry of Human Resources to get clarification on the directive, but they have declined to come on the show tonight. Joining us now, let's hear from Datuk Shamsuddin Bardan. He's the Executive Director of the Malaysian Employers Federation, or MEF. Shamsuddin, now, was there stakeholder engagement with the Employers Federation prior to this directive being issued?
Of course, I would say that there was no such prior consultation. It was purely the decision of the government to impose such condition. But of course, the part is basically that there is a really lack of clarity on how the program is to be really implemented on the ground. And of course, today's announcement by MITI about the so-called SOP is also very confusing, actually.
Shamsuddin, have you reached out to MITI for further clarification, or have your members done so?
Of course, some of the members tried to actually reach out to MITI, but of course, the answer is that they say they're going to come up with the press release or the media release, which they did, today. But of course, again, that also did not really clarify the issues that we are still trying to grapple with.
What exactly is there confusion about? What are you seeking more clarity about specifically?
Yeah, first, of course, is the issue of the people that can come to office and people who cannot come to office. Of course, we understand that this particular directive is imposed on people in the management and supervisory category. Even that also, we are not sure what are really people who are considered within the management and supervisory. Is it all the executive staff, or is it the head of department, or is it what that we are talking about? And of course, that need to really be clarified. And the 10% of this category, actually, how are we going to reach the 10%? I would say that for the bigger companies, 10% may be able to be fulfilled. But in the event you are just a very small company, say with five employees and they are all the management staff, of course, if you take 10%, for example, nobody can come to office, basically, in that kind of situation. So I would say that rather than to say 10% at every category like that, it's better for the government to say that, okay, look, yes, it is on 10%, but if you are a small company below certain numbers, then maybe you can send two or three people to office, thing like that. Yeah, so that, I think, is something that need to be further clarified. And, of course, the other part is basically when you talk about this particular subject, why the 4 hours and why the 3 days kind of thing. So that also adds to a lot of confusion as to whether the 4 hours is enough, basically. Of course, we thought that you come all the way to office and you're there for 4 hours and you go back and then the next day you go back to office 4 hours. That may not be economically feasible. Yeah.
Shamsuddin, which of your members will find these directives easier to comply with, and for whom would this be close to impossible to comply with?
I would say the bigger companies may be able to fulfill all the requirements, but the smaller companies is basically very difficult to comply with the requirements, especially when talking about the Malaysian employers, where more than 650,000 of them are considered as the micro enterprises. Micro in the sense that they employ five and less employees.
Okay. Well, one of the, I think, missing links within the clarification that was issued today by MITI was the fact that there was no end date mentioned in the SOPs. Shamsuddin, how will this impact business planning if you don't know how long this is for?
Of course, we understand, even though there is no mention about the ending date, but we know that it is associated with the CMCO declaration. So long as there is CMCO being declared for certain areas, then of course this particular directive will still apply. We understand that fully. So that fact, I think there is no major issue with us, even though there is no fixed date stated. Understandable, because this target may be still moving kind of thing. And in the event the CMCO in the current areas are being extended, then of course the same rule would apply.
Well, would that make an impact on business cost operations, or, you know, in any way hinder businesses from operating, because you're only complying with these SOPs for about a week or so?
So in that sense, of course, in the event there is no extension of the current CMCO, then of course I think the impact will not be very severe, I would say, because the company can still operate. The only thing is that some of the management staff may not be able to be on site to really supervise the work, thing like that, which of course is very critical for them to be on site. But you know, in the event it is prolonged, say for example like the MCO that we have and the previous CMCO, then of course the effect can be very serious, because we know that during that period the country lost about 42 billion per day when we had the CMCO or MCO the last time. Yeah.
Do you think that ultimately enterprises are the best place or the best level in which risk assessments are made with regard to COVID-19, rather than these broad directives coming from the federal government? Well, what would you like to see?
Yeah, I would say that when the CMCO was first declared for the district of Klang, for example, we are pretty happy with that kind of ruling made by the government. And when the CMCO was first initially announced, we are also pretty happy with the ruling, because in that sense we can still operate, and of course really up to the company to follow stringently the SOP as being issued by the government. But then suddenly when this so-called ruling to say that certain group of employees in the management and supervisory position cannot come to office and must work from home, the word used is must work from home, there is a directive, then of course that caused a lot of issues basically.
Well, you know, if you look at both sides of the argument, that on one hand, there are those who agree that businesses would know better who can and cannot work from home, who needs to work from the office and not the government. But on the other hand, Shamsuddin, you know, some would argue that businesses would prioritise cost and profit considerations without a mandatory directive. That's why this directive is important. Do you agree?
I wouldn't say that at this moment we are talking about a profit thing like that. Of course, most of the companies now, they are talking about survival, really. And if their survival efforts are being disrupted, then of course I'm worried that many other things may be happening, like further retrenchment, thing like that may be happening, because company of course would like to reduce their cost, thing like that. But this is not to say that they want to make the profit look better. It's just to make sure that they sustain their businesses. Yeah.
Finally, I wanted to ask you whether there is more clarity now in terms of what is the directive when it comes to swab tests, Shamsuddin. What is your understanding the guidelines are?
It is very confusing as far as swab test is concerned. Initially, there was an announcement to say that people from the red zone areas must go through the swab test before they come to work. But then if you look at all the announcement of the SOP by BT, there was no mention about the swab test. So basically, of course, we in the industries are taking the stand that since there's no mention about swab test, then of course there is no need for the people even from the red zone to do swab test before they come to work in the office. But of course, this clarity by the Minister of Human Resources is, I think, also very welcome, in the sense that in the event the company want to send their employees for swab tests, then SOXO will bear the cost. Because previously, SOXO was having this policy to say that you only can do the swab test once. But if it is a second swab test or third swab test, then the company has to bear the cost. But of course, then that clarification by the Minister of Human Resources is very much, I think, shedding some light on this particular subject. But the issue of whether there should be mandatory swab tests or not, things like that, also not very much being clarified by the government.
Yes, well, we're hoping to get more clarification in the coming days or so. Thank you, Shamsuddin, for speaking with us tonight.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more on Consider This, so don't go anywhere.